Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Erev Rosh Chodesh Malcheshvan, Parashas Noach, Tafshin Pei 5780, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 29 October 2019. Webcasting from an Israel that has to wake up and read my book. Maybe it's just me, or maybe there are others who are pro-Israelites, Jews and non-Jews alike, who are sick of listening to anti-Jew lies about Israel that sound like an old vinyl music record with a scratch in it, repeating over and over again the words occupation, ethnic cleansing, Israeli racism. Accusations that are never answered by a pro-Israelite, with the defense that there is no occupation and it's the Muslims who want to cleanse Judea and Samaria of its Jews. People like Hillary and Brennan and their criminal clique who smeared Trump with being a Russian agent when they are the Russian agents, it's the Muslims who want to cleanse Judea and Samaria of Jews. When the very word Jew derives from Judea, the Latin mangling of Yehuda, like the Spanish Judio or the French Juif or the German Juda, those who smear Israel with the crime of occupying illegally an area the Muslims today call the West Bank or occupied Palestine, they are the ones bent on ethnic cleansing, like the new foreign ministress in Sweden, Anna Lind, who sees in BDS no anti-Semitism. She mistakes the BDS smokescreen of supporting a state in the West Bank for the Palestinians, mistakes that for the truth, and misses the subsurface ultimate goal, which is the destruction, God forbid, of Israel. She says, quote, "Israel's right to exist is not debatable in any way. I hope to visit Israel in an official capacity. I'm fond of both Israel and the Palestinian territories. I was in Sderot and saw the damage done by Hamas rockets that landed in a kindergarten, so I understand the threat and fear. This does not contradict the view that the occupation, which is in violation of UN resolutions, must end and the Palestinians must be given their rights to live in recognized borders," close quote. And there are no Israeli or Jewish or Gentile friends of Israel to answer her. One, she oddly expresses a fondness not for the Palestinians but the Palestinian territories, where the correct name is Judea and Samaria. She'd open a Bible, open any encyclopedia published before 1970, and those are the names printed on the map. Number two, there's no occupation. This is a figment of a lie implanted in her brain by anti-Jews. She should examine the League of Nations map of Palestine that the League invented explicitly as the Jewish homeland and see what anti-Jews call the occupied Palestinian territories really belongs to the Jews. This is a property dispute. Who owns these hills? The Jews, with artifacts of their existence in this land over thousands of years, or is it a nation unheard of in the history of the human race until the late 20th century? When is our Prime Minister going to proclaim this truth? When are we going to demolish the lie of a Palestinian people that, according to Anna Lind of Sweden and millions of others, has rights to owning these hills? The quintessential anti-Jew sin of the Oslo peace perverts was entering into the fantasy life of the anti-Jews instead of taking up arms against their lies. In the black hearts and stupid minds of Peres, Rabin, Balin, Livni, etc., peace would descend on Israel when Israel stops being greedy and accepts that the ancient ones have as much right to a state in this tiny piece of real estate as Jews. Today, Israel is sovereign, de facto, if not de jure, in all of Judea and Samaria. Our forces go anywhere they want as needed, and the area of all the land west of the Jordan River is about the size of Massachusetts. But still, we are greedy Jews who do not want to share. Not want to share this land as we don't share our special covenant with God. Well, that's what the first Christians said. I said, everyone has a special covenant with God. Who do these Jews think they are, calling themselves the chosen people? The land area of Araby is some 40% larger than the United States of America. The United States has 50 states, the Arabs have 21 states, and the fact that the U.S. states function as one nation and the 21 Arab states do not speaks volumes about the Arabs. The distance from Casablanca on the Atlantic Ocean opposite Brooklyn to Baghdad is longer than the distance between Los Angeles and New York. Still, the Arabs don't have enough room. In the minds of dullards like this Swedish woman, the conflict here is the result of the Jews having too much land and the Arabs not enough. In early 1948, there were some seven, I think, independent Arab states that came to life following World War I, all of them resulting from a League of Nations mandate, but still no Jewish state. That one finally came into being later on in the year, so then there were seven Arab states and finally one Jewish state, which has been required every day since then to fight for its survival. And now, 71 years later, there's still only one Jewish state, but now there are 21 Arab states, three times the number. But apparently that's still not enough. They must have, and Anna Lind agrees with them, a 22nd Arab state. And not coincidentally, it's going to be smack dab in the middle of the Jews' ancestral biblical promised land. What Lind does not see, and pro-Israelites do not make the case for, is that this conflict is not about the rights of Palestinians, denied by those terrible Zionists, but the religious imperative of Islam, of Muslims, and post-Christians, I imagine, like Anna Lind, to resist the resurrection of the Jews in their land as prophesied thousands of years ago, which lends support to the proposition that the claims of this religion in this life are uniquely true. The resurrection of a vibrant and vital Jewish self-governing sovereign community here that had not existed for over 2,000 years, Rome took over in the year 63 BC, the very thought can be breathtaking. Leave one speechless. Maybe the Jews are onto something with their religion. The Prime Minister and Chief of Staff this past week have warned of the Iranians, of feeling their oats, feeling victorious after destroying half of Saudi Arabia's oil production with a sophisticated aerial bombardment of drones and cruise missiles. It took down over the summer an American drone, and Trump did nothing. The MSM here reports, the IDF reports, the installation of Iran's long-range rockets in Yemen that can reach us. Israel has been bombing Syria and then Iraq repeatedly for months, destroying whatever Iran installs there. But now Israel fears retaliation. Israel has evidently a system for dealing with low-flying missiles and drones. It's called the Barak-8ER. Israel halted all strikes into Syria against the Iranians during the days of war in fear of inflicting such damage as to license them to strike back during the holidays. The question is, now that the holidays are over, will Israel return to the level of operations before the Saudi strike, which is evidence of Iran's excellence in engineering? They are head and shoulders above the Arabs intellectually, no doubt. Moreover, I have noticed a repetitive threat over the last weeks. More than one Iranian politician and or general has boasted, "We have the capability to destroy Israel in 30 minutes. God forbid. Perhaps, because they are not comatose, that Israel would have the capability to vaporize Tehran, incinerate the holy cities of Qom and Najaf, disintegrate the port of Bandar Abbas, and do lots more damage. The government of Israel has also alerted embassies to heighten security, for the Iranians are barbarians, no less than the Arabs, with decades of firing bazookas and throwing grenades at Israeli embassies and consulates, sending letter bombs. It's all in my book. And why is Iran so worked up over Israel? Surely it has nothing to do with the plight of the imaginary Palestinians, a people unheard of before the late 20th century. In the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, Muslims here murdered Jews against the Zionist movement in the name of Islam, not Palestinian nationalism. And likewise today, the phantom Palestinians are nothing but a verbal hologram, manufacturing the optical illusion that there is something there when there is nothing there. Someone in the Israel world, or the Jewish world at large, has to reach out and teach Anna Lind and all the billion people who think like her that there is no occupation. It's the Muslims, too, who are bent on ethnic cleansing, and there are no Palestinians with a right to create a sovereign state in Judea and Samaria, recognized by the League of Nations as the Jewish homeland. There never was such a nation, and certainly none with the rights to a 22nd Jew-free independent Arab Muslim state in the middle of the internationally recognized Jewish homeland.
אני נסחף איתה לפני שקיעה זה הזמן שלי לחשוב לפני שקיעה אני מתחיל לאהוב לפני שתתנערי ומהפך ומיורי לפני שלקלקלה לכו ונלך אני נזכר בך ולפני שקיעה שלך ובואו עצום בעיניך לפני שתתנערי ומהפך ומיורי לפני שלקלקלה לכו ונלך והשקיעה מתעטף החושך אבל עליי חור גדול יאיר כי נר החושך יהיה חסר ספפל לאומי ועלייך יזרח השם ואור גדול עלייך הראה שתתנערי ומהפך ומיורי לפני שליקת קלה לכו ונלך
I imagine that some of you, like yours truly, have been enthralled, if that's the word, by J Street's annual Jew Bashing Festival this week. This time graced with five, count them, five delusional Democrats who think they have the right stuff to replace Donald Trump as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces and to become steward of the American economy. Do any of these Democratic pretenders to the presidency have a background in the private sector? Let alone accomplishments suggesting they have the right stuff to lead this nation's 320 million human beings. On Monday, there, J Street, one of the five nobodies, Julian Castro, told the audience that as president, he would put pressure on the Jews to cease and desist their occupation of ancient Palestinian territory. He said the U.S. can, quote, pressure Israel not to move forward with unilateral annexation or continued expansion of settlements in the West Bank, close quote. And he expressed his, quote, hope that there's going to be a new opportunity with a new American president in January 2021 and a new administration in Israel to get this relationship back on track and toward a two-state solution and stop any kind of effort to unilaterally annex the West Bank, close quote. He also made fun of Jared Kushner as the peacemaker. He said, quote, I wish this president would send somebody over there that actually has a track record and experience of being able to help achieve stability and peace, close quote. And I see in his behavior an arrogant ignoramus who thinks he has the authority to tell me, a Jew, that I cannot live in Judea. Who the hell does he think he is to be pontificating on the future of Judea and Samaria? For sure he is no friend of the Jews and our rights to these hills. He's an ignoramus when he prefers to Jared Kushner, quote, those with a track record and experience of being able to help achieve stability and peace, close quote. He seems to have in mind the Jew boys at the State Department, the peace processors, Dennis Ross, Aaron David Miller, Daniel Kurtzer, Daniel Shapiro, etc. They brought peace and stability to Israel, he thinks. They, with their Oslo big idea, brought down on Israel the second intifada, 5 years of satanic cruelty perpetrated by these savage Arab Muslims. This Julian Castro does not know what he is talking about. But that's okay, for in our time, the left, the liberals, the enlightened, pronounce on political and social issues in order to, above all, advertise their beautiful souls, their virtue. In their universe, an enlightened, woke person, of course, supports the victims of Zionism, the phantasmagorical Palestinians crucified daily by the same people who killed Jesus, and in the same country of Palestine, and never mind that Jesus never heard that country name in his lifetime. Two states for two peoples is a statement advertising the speaker's judgment that the Jews are greedy. Like Anna Lind, who can mouth support for Israel's right to exist, and maybe even call Jerusalem its capital, but it must also share the country and that city with the ancient ones or be judged a despicable people, as that Jew at the University of Chicago said last week. Today's anti-Jews in a post-Christian era, post the Age of Reason, no longer sneer and snarl at Jews for being Christ killers, who always try to cheat you as well. No, today they are, in the opinion of the Family of Nations, the world's worst offenders of human rights, as seen in their theft of Palestine, their ethnic cleansing of the land of the legitimate ancient owners, and their continuing refusal to depart the occupied territories. Well, so much for Middle East expert Julian Castro at J Street this week, and following him came a bona fide malshin, that's Hebrew, it means slanderer, or, if you will, an apikoris, that's Yiddish, an Epicurean, post-religious, or, arguably, he's a Meshumad, an apostate Jew, who converted to the religion of communism. Not commonly seen as a religion, but as the successor to religion, it functions very much like the medieval Catholic Church. Opponents can get burnt at the stake. Bernie Sanders concurred with Julian Castro on the tactic of depriving the Jews of military assistance if they go ahead with annexing the West Bank and expanding settlements. Bernie even said, quote, let's give the ancient ones in Gaza the $3.8 billion we give to the Jews. Which I imagine won him cheers and applause, and never mind that the bulk of aid to Israel is spent employing American workers in defense industries. He also boldly said, quote, it's not anti-Semitism to say that the Netanyahu government has been racist. That's a fact, close quote. Bernie's even more far gone than I imagined. This is the equivalent of agreeing with the UN General Assembly in 1975 that Zionism is a form of racism because Netanyahu is the embodiment of it. He's a prince of the secular Zionist movement. His father was one of Jabotinsky's pallbearers when he passed in 1940. Bernie thinks it's intellectually possible to call Netanyahu a racist without calling the Zionist state racist, because the people of Israel have kept him in power longer than any prime minister including the legendary founding father David Ben-Gurion. And Bernie also acted out a classic anti-Jew behavior when he proposed moral equivalence between the government of Israel and the Muslim Brotherhood assassins in Hamas and the PA. Quote, "It's not only Netanyahu's government that's been a problem. Let's recognize that there has been corruption in terms of Hamas and the Palestinian Authority," close quote. No, Bernie, corruption is not the problem with Hamas. It's their satanic murders of Jews that never stop. There's no comparison between us civilized Jews and these barbaric enemies of civilization. Bernie also exposed himself as a painfully shallow man in response to the support he has received from those two Arab-Muslim she-devils in Congress, Rashida and Ilhan. He said, "Being Jewish may be helpful in that regard. It would be very hard for anybody to call me, whose father's family was wiped out by Hitler and who spent time in Israel, as anti-Semitic," close quote. What an unoriginal and ignorant jerk of a Malshin slanderer he is. Norman Finkelstein did the same thing in the introduction to his first Israel-bashing book, advertising himself as a child or grandchild of Holocaust survivors, which lowbrows like them think immunizes them from being judged anti-Semites, when this defense unintentionally reveals their inner concern, fear, and knowledge that they are anti-Semites and will be caught out as that. Bernie is an ignoramus as well for suggesting that you cannot be anti-Semitic, when in our thrice daily prayers we reference the slanderers among us, which curse, uniquely among the 18 blessings, was instituted some 1,900 years ago. That is how common it is in every generation for some Jews like Bernie to betray the people they were born into, and because God was the power responsible for their birth inside the Jewish people, the anti-Jew Jew is at war with Hashem.
והשיב לבבו
And that was from the Navi, Malachi, chapter 3, verse 24. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. 2 days ago on the American Thinker website, a retired professor of political science at the University of Cincinnati, Abraham Miller, wrote under the title, quote, "Jews will not abandon the Democrats even as the Democrats abandon them," close quote. Then this canting on the well-known for decades now confusion among non-observant American Jews between being Jewish and being in tune with the Democratic Party. He rightly dismissed how many dismiss the importance of the presence of those Muslim she-devils in the Democratic Party, while swallowing uncritically the anti-Israel accusations of fellow liberals in the left in their party about Israel. You know, Israel as the colonial occupier of the ancient ones and Israel's chronic abuse of the victims of their Zionism. Abraham Miller wrote, quote, "Much of the Jewish community either buys into this or ignores it." And then in bold letters, he observed, quote, "Given a choice between preserving their Jewish identity or embracing the ideology of the left, many Jews would prefer to be Democrats than Jews," close quote. Yeah, but I think he misses here that such Jews have no interest in preserving their Jewish identity because they have no Jewish identity. The non-Orthodox do not understand what it means to be a Jew, which is a daily occurrence many times in the day, starting with the moment one opens his eyes in the morning. The Jewish identity is not preservable when confused with showing up in a temple a few times in the year and putting a child through a pantomime bar mitzvah that the non-observant inflict on their children. Such Jews do not believe in the obligation of living a life of mitzvot, of commandments, and therefore have no business conducting this so-called bar mitzvah ceremony that is experienced as some kind of ancient ritual of no meaning, hence the heretical musical entertainment loved by such people called Fiddler on the Roof, in which the main character Tevius says Jews do some things, they don't know why, but it's the tradition. And this community of nominal Jews, because of its historic connection to the Democrats, because this community has no serious content to a Jewish identity, they identify with a political party for their sense of community. Last webcast, I despaired of Bougie Herzog thinking he can wage uncompromisingly an assault against anti-Semitism, probably without attacking the lies of so-called occupation and Palestinian people with rights. And now I add that thinking there could be any loyalty and concern among diaspora Jews for Israel, who have no religious identity, must fail. If he really wants to keep alive Jews and pro-Israel Jews in the exile, he should funnel lots of money to Chabad. All other forms of Jewish identity without the religion are doomed to failure.
Thank you.
Okay, that's it for this Tuesday, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.